It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Matambo, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Oh, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, thank you very much, Pastor. Are you well?
Good. Yes, I'm well. I'm
lovely,
well. And yourself?
Lovely. I'm well. Our question for today, Pastor, is polytheism a valid religious choice?
Okay. I think to tackle that one, I assume that I'm speaking from two views. The first one is the biblical view, and the second one is the worldview. So if I speak from the biblical view, which I want to speak at last, let me begin with the worldview of polytheism. I think in your introduction, you have mentioned that polytheism is a belief in many gods. When one subscribes to many gods, worships many gods, there are many religions today which have got that system of belief where they worship several gods. And as far as they are concerned, it is okay with them. But if I look at it now from the worldview, I would have questions about what is the true God, or who is the true God? The moment that you start to worship several gods, it says a lot about the gods that you are worshiping. For instance, if you have got a god of fertility and a god of agriculture and another god of science, and then you have got another god of war, probably you've got 5 or 10 gods, then it means that each of those gods is insufficient and needs another god to assist him or her to save his or her people. It means the god of agriculture is lacking something. He cannot address fertility issues, so there is need for another god who is responsible for fertility issues. And the god responsible for fertility issues cannot address when it comes to war. We need another god who is responsible for war. Then it says a lot about the gods that you are worshipping, which makes polytheism to be invalid, in the sense that you cannot worship a god who is insufficient. You cannot worship a god who is not self-sufficient, a god who needs to be assisted by another god. Then that means that god has got challenges, because when we look at the attributes of a true god must be self-sufficient. Actually, there are three metaphysical attributes of a true god. The first one is that a true god must be omniscient. He must be able to know everything. A true god must be omnipotent. He must be all powerful. He doesn't need any other god to assist him as far as power is concerned. A true god must be omnipresent. He must be everywhere, anytime, anywhere. You cannot have a god whom you have to travel to a certain place to see, because he's not available where you are. That means that your god lacks something. So when you put several gods together and you say, I worship this god, this one is the god of fertility, this one is the god, it tells you that all your gods are insufficient and they do not match up to the attributes which a god should have. So that makes polytheism invalid. And I would also say that one of the challenges you find with polytheism is that of all the gods that I've heard in the world so far, I've heard about the god of war, Ares in the Greeks, Aphrodite, the god of fertility in the Greeks there. The Romans would call the god of fertility, they would call her Venus, well, she's a goddess actually. There is the God of time.
Are you still there, Pastor? Right, I think our line to the pastor has just dipped down a bit, but we will be patient. Pastor, your line dipped there just as you were telling us about Kronos. Go ahead. We missed everything.
Right. Can you hear me now?
I can now. Everything you said after you said Kronos, the god of time, we missed it. Just go pick up from there.
All right. Okay. So the god Kronos, I'm talking of the Greeks.
Okay, Pastor, that line.
I've not seen any God who addresses the challenge.
Pastor?
The challenge is, yes. Someone is trying to call me. I think that.
Oh, okay. Because you, again, after you said Kronos again, you dip. There you go. He dips again. Oh, mercy. Oh, Lord. Okay, Pastor. Every time you start talking, somebody interrupts.
Yeah, someone is calling me, so that's what is happening. Is using the calling through the is a direct line. This one it's not a WhatsApp call. So
yeah,
that's what is happening.
Would you prefer that I call you via the WhatsApp line, Pastor? The direct line.
Yes, you want to call me on the direct line?
I'm asking if you would prefer me to do that, Pastor. Like, we can do that if that's what you prefer.
Yes. Yes, okay. Yes, so that this other person cannot continue to interrupt.
Okay, I'm going to call you just now. I'm calling you just now.
All right.
Let's get the pastor on that line, on that direct line, so that we can be able to get this conversation clearly and uninterrupted. Our conversation with our pastor, who is helping us understand from the perspective of our belief as Christians. Remember, we believe based on the Bible. And the Bible teaches us that, hear ye, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. But then again, the pastor is simply explaining and unpacking the other belief systems, and he keeps on getting cut there when he speaks of Kronos. Pastor, are you there?
Yes, I'm there now.
Lovely. Go ahead, Mfundisi.
Good. So I was saying that with all the various gods that polytheism has, the gods of time, the gods of agriculture, the god of war, the god of fertility, the god of what, and the god of what. I have not seen any god who seems to be addressing the issues of salvation, especially from the world's biggest problem, which is the sin problem. There is not even one god that I've seen who is called the god of salvation from the sin problem, which is the greatest problem of humanity. So that makes polytheism invalid, let me say. Because if you cannot address the universal problem of sin, if there is no God among us, the gods worshipped, who is addressing the sin problem, then it says a lot about how polytheism runs short of what human beings need. So it makes it invalid. As far as that is concerned, I've also seen one thing that I might need also to put across is that I have been told that the gods in polytheism have managed to create other gods and maybe humans. Those are myths that we have been told from the Greek mythology and other myths from the Romans. They will tell you that this god created the other god and so forth. But one thing that baffles me is that how can you say, how can these gods be creating when they were actually, some of them, they're actually creatures themselves? For instance, when you worship the god of the sun, we know the sun was created. Now, I'm speaking from the biblical point of view, the sun itself was created by God. So how can a creature create another creature? That becomes a problem now.
That can't be a problem, really, Pastor, because as a Christian, you believe that Jesus is a creature. You believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus is not a spirit. Jesus is matter. He's a creature. Surely that cannot be difficult for you to fathom, right?
No. Okay, when we are talking about Jesus now, we don't look at him that way.
There is no other way that you can look at him, Jesus. Jesus is given to us through the four Gospels. And the four Gospels don't tell us that Jesus fell from heaven. No, no, no. He was born. He's matter, just like all of us. He lived and died.
Then we should understand the life of Christ in three phases. We should understand Jesus Christ in three phases. Number one, before he came to earth, while he was still in heaven. Number two, his life on earth. Number three,
what was in his life on earth? What was he? Was he not a creature?
In his life on earth.
Yes.
The Bible tells us that he was the Son of God.
The Bible tells us he was born of Mary, a human being.
Yes.
His genetic makeup of that of human beings, created beings.
Yes, but remember, there is the incarnation of Christ in Jesus. It's Christ was incarnate in Jesus. So the incarnation part of it now, you need to understand it, that it was Christ, an eternal person who is coming into a body, or who is coming
in the
form of Jesus.
Yes.
Coming in the form of Jesus.
That incarnation, simply put, that God that is the Spirit, as you're saying, becomes flesh. That's what John 1:1.
Yeah, but
and the Word became flesh, and the Word became a creature. Flesh is a created thing, Pastor.
Now, when you talk about Christ, his life on earth, remember, he spent much of his life as a human being.
And that human being state is created. Remember, Pastor, what we're trying to establish here is you cannot say it's a problem when a God is going to be created. And that's what I'm bringing to your attention, that the Jesus that we are talking about now took the form of a created being, lived a life of a created being, got his very being from being a created being.
Yes. I think I was supposed to finish what I wanted to say. Then we'll come to this one. Can you allow me to do that?
All right. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay. I wanted to first finish the point that a true God must be able to create from nothing. Like, that's what we say, ex nihilo, the Hebrew word, which says creating from nothing. But if a God creates using other existing materials, then he cannot be a true God. So whatever the gods that have created, whatever they have created, I'm not sure if they created out of nothing or they were using existing materials to create whatever they created. That is the difference between the true God and any other God. Now, we come back to the Jesus factor that we have put into play right now. When Christ came on earth, what does the Bible say about his nature? He retained his divinity, but remember that he had emptied himself of, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, that though being God, he took it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and became man. So he left out the part that makes him a supreme God, and he dwelt with us as a human being. So when you talk about Christ, his life on earth, you cannot refer to him as a God creature. He is not a God creature, but he is a human being, because he has emptied himself of the God, the divinity. He has emptied himself of what makes him a deity, so that he can become a human being. I don't know if I've said anything there.
I'm hearing you, Pastor, something. But then again, I want to remind you again that creatio ex nihilo is not a biblical concept. It's a theological proposal. Creatio ex nihilo is not a biblical concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's a theological proposition.
Yes, yes.
And what I'm bringing to your attention is, again, we are talking about a God who created another God, and that is the third person, the Son. The Son did not fall from heaven. The Son was created, and he was not created ex nihilo. He was created using the genetic matter of a human being, a mortal named Mary.
No. Christ was not created by God. He is actually God. He is a creator himself. But he decided to incarnate himself in Jesus.
Pastor, the Jesus, the Emmanuel, is a creation. Emmanuel didn't fall from heaven. You will not find any means by which Christ came to earth other than Mary.
Yeah, but remember that when we are talking of Christ, when we are talking of Jesus, you are talking of the... Remember, there's an incarnation aspect here. You're failing to.
I'm not disputing that, Pastor. What I'm saying is this God had to become flesh.
Yes.
That's what John 1:1 says. And the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among
us. So you're saying
the flesh is created matter.
So you're saying that at the moment when God became flesh,
he became a created being.
A creature.
Yes. Flesh is a created thing.
Becomes a created being.
Flesh is a created thing, Pastor.
Remember that the way Christ was born is not the way you are born.
He was born the same way everyone was born, Pastor. That is not true.
No. His father was the Holy Spirit, remember?
His father had nothing to do with him being born.
He was not fathered by a sperm that comes from a man.
I'm not talking about fathering. I'm talking about being birthed. He was birthed
through
a woman's womb, as we all of us.
But what is it that was given birth to?
A human being.
Was it from a sperm? Yes. A human being.
Right.
Who has got an incarnation in him.
Who is a result of incarnation?
An incarnate of Christ. An incarnate of Christ in Jesus.
Before birth, there was no Christ, Pastor.
Before birth?
Yes.
What do you mean, before birth there was no Christ?
There was
the Son of God.
there was no Christ before Mary gave birth, Pastor.
Yes, of course. There was no Christ in the sense of Jesus Christ, but we know that he existed before Christ. He even says, I existed before Abraham.
Yeah, that's us in our construal of before Abraham, I am. That's not what I'm bringing to your attention here. So what I'm bringing to your attention, Pastor, is, again, we are talking about this person who has asked a question, who is saying, is polytheism irrational? Is it nonsensical? Is polytheism valid as a choice, as a religious choice? And your response says, for a God to be a God, he cannot be created. And I'm asking you to then help us understand how a God was created in the person of Yeshua.
He was not created, actually. He was an incarnate, not created. It's an incarnate of God in Jesus, not a creation.
So the process of incarnation comes before he was born. Instead of consummation and conception, we say incarnation, which then results in the birth of this boy child called Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yeah.
My question is,
at the point of being born, which is not a created thing? Yes, I want to ask something now.
Yes, because
I think this question was not supposed to be phrased as polytheism, because this is a different subject altogether. If you had wanted us to discuss about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, then it should have come as a topic on its own. Because
no, Pastor,
when you talk of polytheism and what happened to the arrangement within the Godhead, it has nothing to do with polytheism.
Remember, Pastor, you're the one who brought up the issue of a created being. A God cannot be created.
Yes.
That's what you came. It's not me. I didn't come up with that. All this time I was listening to you saying that, and I'm suggesting to you that you brought up the issue of a God that cannot be born. And yet John 1:1 says God was born.
What exactly did I say? I said
a God cannot create.
I was referring to the gods, right?
Yes, you said a god cannot be created.
Cannot create a god, is it?
Right.
And when you come back to Christianity, to the Bible view, we see that the arrangement that brings out Christ, or that brings out Christ Jesus, was not a creation of Jesus on earth, but it was an incarnation of Jesus on earth.
Pastor.
An incarnation of Christ Jesus on earth.
Pastor?
An incarnation of the Son of God in Jesus Christ.
So the word incarnation should not confuse us. The word incarnation is simply meaning the means by which Christ became. And you and I were came about through conception, because there was sperm and an egg. That's how you and I came about. Mm-hmm. But as opposed to us, Jesus was not conceived. He was incarnated. So it's a different means by which he was put in the womb of Mary. You and I are put in the womb of Mary by way of conception. Yeshua is put in the womb of Mary by way of incarnation. But the bottom line is the channel through which we come to earth is the womb.
Yes.
And the womb requires... Yes, go ahead.
That makes it a different, person altogether. You cannot say that that person is created.
So what is flesh, Pastor?
Because the process of creation, we all know it. If a child is being created in between a husband and a wife when they are making a baby, we know what has to be joined so that a baby can be created that way. So the fact that Christ was incarnated tells us that he could not be given birth the same way we are. He could not be conceived the same way we are conceived. So that says that he does not become a creature.
What is human nature, Pastor? What is human nature? Because what is flesh? Is flesh not a creature?
Flesh, yes. Remember, Christ inherited flesh and blood, is it? The same way that we have it.
So Christ became flesh.
So
that's
saying,
what John 1:1 says, right?
Yes.
Right.
That's very true.
Right. So
he became flesh by his own will, not by creation, but by his own will.
No problem there.
So he what I'm bringing. To, yes. He
so
decided
we can
to be that by his own will.
Right. So we can agree that when we are saying, as far as John is concerned, and he became flesh and he dwelt among us, that effectively means that he became a created thing, which is flesh, because we agree that flesh is created, correct?
Yeah, but are you saying that you can only come into existence only by creation?
No, Pastor. I'm talking about the state of being that John is referring to. John chapter 1 verse 14. Let me read John chapter 1 verse 14 so that you understand exactly the point that I'm bringing to your attention.
Yes.
It said the word became flesh. That's John chapter 1 verse 14. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
So I understand that verse.
Yeah.
Now my question also is that, are you saying that you can only become flesh if only you are created? You can't have flesh when you have not been created?
I'm saying, Pastor, flesh, all flesh is created.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. And if Christ is going to choose to become flesh, he's choosing to become a created thing.
No. I don't think we'll be correct to say that. Because you remember, it was by his decision to be on earth.
That is not in contention. I just need you to address... I need you to address John chapter 1, verse 14. Then what is John saying there?
I'm understanding John, the part of becoming flesh, but it does not mean that when you become flesh, then you are a creature.
Is flesh not a creature, sir?
The other flesh that we know, they are created. But for him, remember, it was his choice to become flesh.
That's not part of the debate, Pastor. The debate is about whether we are with John. Do we agree that John is correct to say Christ became flesh?
That's very true. He became flesh, but that does not mean he became a creature.
Is flesh not creature, sir?
That's why I'm saying to you, for him, Christ, he could become flesh without necessarily being created.
So you're saying flesh is not a created thing?
Flesh is a created being, is a created state.
Okay.
But he chose to be in flesh.
Right.
Not because he was created. No. It doesn't make him a creature. That doesn't make him a creature. He chose to be in flesh. It was his choice to become that. And how he did it, we cannot, we don't need to bother why how he has done it, but it doesn't mean that he became a creature.
Okay. All right, so let's...
I don't know if you're getting me on.
No, I don't want to belabor the point beyond this, Pastor. Let's go back to the issue then. Are you saying polytheism? Your final words on polytheism and the person's question. Remember, the person's question was saying, is polytheism a valid religious choice?
Yes. That's why I think I'd said a lot on that topic, because I had mentioned a lot of... issues that polytheism does not address. For instance, it doesn't address the issue of salvation. If we were to rely on polytheism alone, then we would be left with the problem of salvation not addressed. That's why I'm saying that there is not even one God in polytheism who seems to be addressing the issues of salvation. That makes it an invalid religious choice.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I hear you. I hear you. I hear you, Pastor.
Yeah. I don't know if you've got another question.
I have, Pastor, but I don't think we have time, and I don't want to keep you. I'd love to pick your brain even further, but I don't think we'll be able to have time, Pastor. So I'll reserve my questions for tomorrow and the other day and any other day.
and please prepare me in time, because some of these questions that you bring, they need us. They need some time for us to research more about them.
So I have.
But anyway, thank you so much.
Yeah, I have no other question, Pastor, outside what you say. So if you notice, even today, I simply picked up what you were saying, and I was asking based on what you said. So I was only going to ask that one question that the listener sent: is polytheism a valid religious choice? And I let you respond there. It was only when you said a God cannot be created that I sought your understanding on John chapter 1:1 and John chapter 1:14.
I think we need one day to come back on air with this question.
Okay.
We should come back on air.
I like that. This one again. I like that. Okay. Well, I'll make time, Pastor. I'll invite you, and then we can do a longer period to discuss it. Yeah?
All right.
Pastor, thank you very much. Appreciate your time, sir. All right, Pastor Matambo answering our question for today: is polytheism a valid religious choice? And he says, no, it is not valid, because polytheism does not address many issues. And one of the issues he's talking about is the issue of salvation. If it doesn't address the issue of salvation, therefore it is irrelevant and invalid. That's Pastor Matambo for you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.